Lord. Rejoice in you, Lord. Lord, are so in awe of you and your hand at work, and the fact that we can come to you, come together, and feast upon your word and receive that nourishment to cause us to grow stronger and firmer in Jesus. To your glory, Lord, have your way. Bless this time together and your word. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Please stand as we will recite the Shema together. The Shema. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Ve'ahavta et Adonai Eloheka, Ve'kol Levachka, Uve'kol Neshevka, Uve'kol Modeka, Hafta Racha, Kamoka, Amen. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might, and love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your word and your spirit, making it very much the course of our walk on this earth together. Amen. Please be seated. Once more, we're in 2 Samuel 4, 2 Samuel 24, verse 10. Now David's heart troubled him after he had numbered the people. So David said to the Lord, I have sinned greatly in what I have done. But now, O Lord, please take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have acted very foolishly. We're in the midst of that consideration of why it is so necessary to have a heart that is soft to the Lord as we walk on this earth. We will make mistakes and have those missteps, either through lack of discernment or through the deliberate seeking of our way instead of Jehovah's way and His guidance. The residue of our old nature infests our beings in its darkness at times as we sojourn in this realm with all its influences over evil. Therefore, we are to be on guard constantly for the sake of the testimony of God in our lives. This is a reality that we have dealt with in the past and that we will continue to emphasize as each year proceeds forth. None of us, not one, is immune to those elements that would try to persuade us to give in to the lusts of the flesh. However, and most importantly, as Christians, we have the omnipotence of God through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to cause us to seek after His holiness and His righteousness day after day after day. The problem is that in our humanity, we grow tired and weary of the constant strain and stress of that daily battle. We take our eyes off the guidance and the leadership and the goal that is set before us in Jesus Christ. So frequently, we suffer fatigue and frustration and discouragement in the struggle against the flesh. This utter exhaustion is despite the fact that the one in us is far greater than the one who is in the world. We are told this in 1 John 4:4. 1 John 4:4. You are from God, little children, and have become them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. That is something we need to beseech the Lord to instill constantly into our minds as we are here in the midst of this swirling, pounding, confounding, blaring, shattering cesspool of filth and refuse that this age puts forth as its tawdry elemental force of enticement unto evil. We need to learn what it means to walk by the power of the Holy Spirit day after day without giving in to the frustration or the fatigue, ever following our Lord Jesus Christ into the eternity that he has set before us. Consider what the Apostle Paul wrote concerning this reality in Galatians 5:16-26. Please open to it in your Bibles. Galatians 5:16-26. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such thing there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. This is a great detailing of that which is of this world, set in its fleshly desires and lusts and behaviors of the old humanity, as opposed to what is now true of us in Jesus Christ. We are partakers of the new humanity which his death and resurrection brought forth to reign eternally in our beings. If we have been crucified with him and resurrected with him in the glory of his power, his life will become the more and more perfect expression of how we live and how we operate on this earth. This will be in evidence even today with each other and with all those whom God brings into the intersection of our walk on this earth. That old nature must be continually pushed aside as it tries to tell us that we are guilty, that we are no different than any other person. It feeds us the lie that there is still the stain of iniquity upon us, and we might as well indulge in the actions of the flesh because it doesn't matter anyway. Those deceitful taunts, if we lend any credence to them, will drag us into the quagmire of what used to be the course of our carousing and dissipated existence apart from Jesus Christ. We will find that we very quickly recede into those elements which will only bring forth immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. When we are caught off track, when we are beset by our ignorant and foolish disobedience, like that of King David as detailed in this morning's passage, we need to confess our sin before God, and we need to seek His forgiveness. When we do that with the desire that He be glorified and that He would rule and overrule in our lives unto His good pleasure and unto His delight, we will relish and we will cherish that restoration which is now true for us today and forever in Christ Jesus. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There is a very potent demonstration of how this played out in the life of the Apostle Peter that is recorded in Mark 14, verse 72. Remember that Peter was one of the most fiery and the most ardent of the disciples of Jesus of Nazareth. He was willing to lay down his life for his teacher, his friend, his rabbi. That is what he proclaimed on several occasions. He truly wanted to walk as Jesus walked, seeking to do the good work of the Heavenly Father as was detailed by this only begotten Son of God. He had seen all those miracles, and he had been a partaker in the difference that it made to walk on this earth with Jesus. However, when that day came, when Jesus was torn from the disciples and tortured and disfigured under those scourging lashes of those Roman soldiers, when confronted with the accusation that he was part of the group who followed Jesus, Peter vehemently denied it. He found himself denying even knowing this rabbi from Nazareth. His fear of the consequences of being identified with Christ gained power over his mind and his lips. As a result, he rebuffed any implication that he was one of Jesus' disciples. Mark 14, 72. And immediately a cock crowed a second time, and Peter remembered how Jesus had made the remark to him, "Before a cock crows twice, you will deny me three times." And he began to weep. There was great sorrow in this man who had stridently and virulently demanded to know the depths of a relationship with Jesus. He had wanted to be the greatest among the disciples. And yet, at this juncture, he was at the lowest point of his walk with the Christ. There was that sorrow which led to his repentance. The Lord made an overture to Peter, which is easy to overlook in the joy of Jesus' resurrection. If you will turn to Mark 16, 5 through 7, there is something wonderfully warming and forgiving in the manner in which the declaration of the triumphant resurrection of Christ was to be announced to his disciples. Mark 16, 5 through 7, "And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting at the right, wearing a white robe, and they were amazed. And he said to them, 'Do not be amazed. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who has been crucified. He has risen. He is not here. Behold, here is the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he said to you.'" God's provision of forgiveness can be fully seen in this announcement to the disciples of Christ, particularly pointing out that it was to be proclaimed to Peter. He was to personally know that he was given by the Lord for that betrayal, in that he was especially one to receive the good news of the power and the might of God over death forevermore. We can only put up forth our sense of what it might have been like for this disciple. Having denied his friendship and relationship with Jesus in the hours before his crucifixion, Peter was probably wallowing in that self-piteous state of horror at the betrayal of his lips. Then, to be singled out as one to whom this word of the life of his beloved rabbi was restored, work to bring forth that peace and that joy and that sense of forgiveness of God within his spirit and his mind. Whether he actually confessed his denial, we don't know, but God does. Jesus was intimately aware of the heart of this tortured and utterly mortified soul. That is one of the reasons that the angel made sure that Peter was specifically apprised of the glorious power of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. This then leads to another expression of encouragement that we receive from the Apostle Paul to those who are faced with the pressures and the trials and the tribulations of our walk in faith on this earth. Like Peter, we are daily brought face to face with those choices of honoring Christ or denying the power of his might in our lives. We need to be encouraged to hold ever to the true Lord of all creation as we make the decisions that each crossroad brings before us. Therefore, we're given the reality of Ephesians 5, 1 through 21 as the means of being a blessing to God and to others in our honorable walk together with the Lord. Please open to it as a testimony of how full and how vast, precious is the life we are given to live steadfastly despite the taunts and assignations of this realm. Ephesians 5, 1 through 21. "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. But do not let immorality or any impurity or greed even be named among you as is proper among saints. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. And do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason it says, "Awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. We need to be exceedingly careful as to the manner in which we are presenting the testimony of our beloved Savior and Lord. There is to be the definitive difference in evidence as we deal with others. There should be that selfless expression of the love of God that Jesus shared so freely and so perfectly with those in His sphere of influence. We know that we will not be faultless, as we have expressed earlier, but we should want to be. There should be that inner desire that the Lord is blessed in the manner in which we obey Him and express our living trust in Him to deal with the every issue that comes before us. The Apostle John brings forth the truth of the need for our continually seeking after the working, forgiving, life-altering power of the Holy Spirit to be expressed, to be the expressed and single influence upon our hearts and minds. This is encapsulated for us in 1 John 1, 8 through 10. 1 John 1, 8 through 10. But if we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. We are to be known by the nature that seeks to honor and to obey God in the every course of our influence upon those around us. Family, friends, workmates, associates, neighbors. If we are living by the power of the Holy Spirit, honoring and reverencing and obeying the every whisper of His Word within our hearts, we will be reveling in the great depths of our commitment and our dedication to Him in the study and the joy of His living Word. We will be humble of spirit and contrite of mind to the point of ever being willing to confess our failures and our sins. This will be with hearts and souls that yearn to please and to completely obey and to bless God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We will not be putting our will before His, but rather asking Him to put to death that self-life which so foully and so manipulatively brings nothing but pain and misery and numbness of mind and heart. Instead, our lives should be evidenced by the righteousness, peace, and joy of the Holy Spirit, which is our eternal heritage in Jesus Christ. So be it. Now David's heart troubled him after he had numbered the people. So David said to the Lord, "I have sinned greatly in what I have done. But now, O Lord, please take away the iniquity of Thy servant, for I have acted very foolishly." Amen. Amen.